Today we want to think on the subject, truth desired. The very first verse in the Bible is, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And the first of his creation were the angelic beings, the angels, and then the earth and the sky and everything in it. Everything was good that he had created. Nothing was wrong or false or questionable. And then one day something happened concerning one of his highest created beings. His name was Lucifer. And Jesus said in John 8:44 that he, this Lucifer, abode not in the truth. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, we read, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." And then notice he said, "I will be like God." Lucifer or Satan didn't keep God's given place and position. He didn't follow God's will for his life. He exalted himself. He sought his own way. He desired to be like God. He desired the glory and the worship and the acknowledgement and the position that alone belongs to God. That's what it means when it said to abide not in the truth. And then Adam and Eve were created and given a place in the Garden of Eden and given the responsibility of caring for the garden and the privilege of daily fellowshipping with God. And a command to be a command to not partake of the fruit of a certain tree in the garden. And then one day, Lucifer, or Satan, tempted Eve to look at the tree, and she saw that it was good for food, and saw that it was pleasant looking, and that it could make her wise. And so she took of the fruit and disobeyed God, and then gave some to Adam, and he partook of it, and he disobeyed God, so that they abode not in the truth. Since that day, man has been born in sin, fallen, depraved, with a nature that does not desire God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and does not desire God's Word and the Holy Spirit and God's will and way. In Romans chapter 3, verses 9 to 12, we read this. "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proven, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." So beings, all mankind are sinners, and we are born as sinners, God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and came to earth to be our Savior. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, or no man can go to heaven but except through me. So Jesus is the truth. He was God in the flesh. He is the only one who could pay sin's penalty and die for our sin and rise again. He is the only way to heaven. He's the only way through which we can get to heaven. And He's the only one who could give us everlasting life. But man in his sin does not want or desire and realize that he needs the truth. He desires something that will fill the void in his life, the emptiness in his heart. But he makes his own God, and he tries to work out a plan of his own. He doesn't understand the truth and seek after God as the Word of God teaches. In Romans chapter 1, verses 21 to 25, we read, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. So God gave us His Word, the truth, so that we could understand God's way. And Psalm 119, 151 says, all thy commandments, or in other words, God's Word, our truth. God's Word tells us of our sin and of the penalty of sin, our eternal separation from God in a place called hell. And God's Word tells us of God's great love for us and of Christ's finished work on Calvary, and that we need to accept God's gift of salvation through faith in order to be a child of God and to be able to go to heaven. God also gave the Holy Spirit to convince man of the truthfulness of His Word. John 14:17 calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth. And John 16 tells of His ministry to unbelievers. In John 16, verses 8 through 11, we read this. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, and of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. The Holy Spirit came to convince man that he is a sinner and that he needs to believe upon and place his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. To convince man that he is unrighteous and can never be good enough or do enough good to merit God's favor. And the Holy Spirit was sent to convince man that if he dies in his sin, in unbelief, he will stand before God, the great judge, who will cast him into hell that was prepared for Lucifer or for the devil and his followers. Man then has a decision to make. He can accept the truth of God's redeeming love in Christ Jesus by faith, or he can reject it. And God pleads with man to accept it. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, we read where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the last part of verse 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the last part of verse 2 says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And the Apostle Paul wrote that to the Corinthians. Those who respond and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are what the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Now the believers that heard the word of truth and trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, they were sealed with the Holy Spirit. In other words, it was a finished transaction. They couldn't lose their salvation. When they received Christ as their Savior, they were saved forever. And God's desire is that man will come to the truth for salvation, and God's desire for man is not for it to end, but for believers to also grow in the truth. We need to be saved, but we need to grow spiritually. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." So Peter said, desire the simple truths of God's word and grow. We're probably all familiar with a new baby. A new baby doesn't know what milk is made of and the nourishment it has in it, and how necessary it is for his growth and development. All this baby knows is that he or she gets hungry, and when he gets this milk, then he is satisfied. we should have the same desire to feed on God's Word, the truth, as that baby has to feed on milk. And what happens when a baby doesn't get its milk? It cries, and the longer he or she goes without milk, when he's hungry, the fussier he gets. He isn't satisfied until he gets that nourishment, the milk. Do we place the same importance on getting, reading, and studying God's Word? Our desire should not be any less. God says, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that in order that you might grow. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, it says, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Pepsi Company says that Pepsi is good, and the Coke Company says that Diet Coke is good, and company after company says that their product is good, and their product will do this or that, will help them. And those that make and sell vehicles, they say that their vehicle will outperform all the others. Now, how do we know concerning food or milk or whatever? You have to taste it, and you have to drink it, and you have to eat it, and you have to try it. And concerning vehicles, you have to use it and drive it. Now, how do we know how good and gracious and loving and kind and merciful God is? We have to get into the Word of God. We will be starved and stunted and sick Christians if we don't get into the Word of God, which is the truth. My oldest brother, named Gus, used to be a pastor, and he taught a class at camp several times. And he said this to us. He said, people ask me how long their devotions should be and how long they should read God's Word each day. And he said, I ask them, how well do you want to know the Lord? How much do you want to grow in the Lord? And that was a good response. Are we satisfied with 5 minutes a day reading the Bible, or 10 minutes? How deep is our desire for the Word of God? God's Word says, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Through it, you will taste that the Lord is gracious. Back in Psalm chapter 42, verses 1 and 2, we read this. As the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. We've probably all seen pictures of animals, deer or whatever, in Africa during the dry, hot season. The water holes dry up, and they will travel miles and miles in search of water. And when they near the river or the water hole, they run forward with their tongues hanging out and then drink until they are satisfied. I grew up on the farm, and we had cattle, and on the hot, dry days, after we got done milking, we would let the cattle out, and they would go down this long lane that we had to our pasture, and they would go down in the morning. And those that weren't milk cows, they would go down in the morning to feed on the pasture. And by midday or early afternoon, they would come back up the lane and they would run to the water tank. And they would crowd around the water tank and they would drink and drink until they drank the tank dry. The water couldn't come in fast enough to keep the water supply in the tank. Now, do we have the same desire for God's word as that hot, thirsty cow or deer has for water, and we just can't get enough of it? Even though it's good to read, to be informed on what's going on around the world, and even though it's good to enjoy certain pleasures, is our desire for God's word even greater than our desire for those things, whether they're on the radio or TV or the newspapers or books or whatever? Is our desire for God's word even greater than that? In Psalm chapter 51, verse 6, we read this: "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." God's desire is that our heart be filled with the truth. It must begin in the heart. And until our heart is filled with God's word, his truth, it will not be lived out in our life. In Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, we read this: "My son, keep my words, and lay up my commandments with thee." In other words, what God's word teaches. "Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye." Now, when he said, "Keep it as the apple of mine eye," that means that which is most important, most desired, most loved. In other words, keep what is so important and so greatly desired by you, and that which brings the most delight and joy. And that's what the Word of God does. It brings us great delight and joy. And then verse 3, "Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tables of thine heart." In other words, make them a permanent part of our life. And in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, we read this: "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way of the places of the path. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, call, and my voice is to the sons of man. God is pictured here as one who stands on the top of the highest hills or tower, or along the roads, or at the entrances into the cities, or at the door of each home. God doesn't want to miss one single person. He cries out at the top of his mighty voice, and his words are heard out in the country and throughout every city and inside each home. And here is what he says. Notice verse 5. O you simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be ye of an understanding heart. In other words, you need to understand my word and take it to heart. And verse 6 says, hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. In other words, God's word is excellent. It is right. It is better than anything else. And it is more important than anything else in life. Notice verses 7 and 8. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. So God's word is truth, and there's nothing false or wrong in God, with God's word. And then notice verses 10 and 11. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and acknowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So receiving God's word is of greater value than a rich man who might have millions of dollars or anything else that he could possibly possess. God's word is of more value and more important. And in verses 17 through 21, it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches of and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now, we put so much importance on homes and cars and possessions and relationships and position and pleasures and accomplishments. And all of these things are important. But as someone has said, we are dug so deep into the world. God says, I have so much more to give you than anything that the world can offer. I want to give you real eternal riches and honor and substance and treasures. The world cannot compare with what God has to give us and what we work so hard for and spend so much time for is like, just as an example, is like a mud hut in comparison to the mansion and a blessing that God has for us. And as the mansions that he has for us when we get to heaven, we who have received Jesus as our Savior. So God's desire for mankind is that we come to know the truth for salvation and that we receive Christ as our Savior and then that we grow spiritually and become as Christ-like as it's possible for us who are human beings to become. Yes, God's word is truth, and we need to spend as much time reading God's word and learning the truth that we possibly can. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you that your word is truth. And there's so many things that we can read and study that's not really true out in the world. But we thank you that your word is truth. And the more we learn of your word, and the more we study it, the more godly we become and Christ-like we become in our lives. We thank you for this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.